All right, this is Gracie Rax with
Rick from Adelita's Way.
How are you doing today?
I feel great. Having a great day.
Are you having fun in Flint?
Always, always. Great show at the machine shop. Packed house. Feels good.
I was wondering how the band actually came to be. Was it just you, like, always having a passion for music, or?
No. You know, I feel like my whole life I worked really hard to be a pro baseball player and to play baseball. And, you know, once I hit my college level, I started really just gravitating towards music accidentally, you know, and I just kept following my path, kind of not even realizing what could become of it. But ever since I discovered music and my passion for singing and performing and writing songs, I've had just a one-track mind as far as career-wise to write songs and perform and be an artist. I think I felt like it was my path, and I never really, whenever anybody told me it wasn't going to go, I didn't listen. You know, I just kept doing my own thing. And, you know, in 2005, I made a demo. I started performing around Las Vegas, and we created a real big buzz. 2006, I met Trevor Stafford, who's the drummer in the band. And, you know, we built this, you know. I got a record deal from Virgin Records, and then, you know, Trevor and I took it from there, and we've just been on the road nonstop, and, you know, we're blessed to have Andrew and Rob on board, and they bring a lot to the table, so I feel like we're in a really great place right now. Feels good.
And it kind of then really makes sense for you to have done the pledge music and stuff, because it sounds like you don't like it when people tell you what to do, so you're just going to kind of do your passion and go with it.
You know, it's not that I don't mind people telling me what to do. I don't mind senseless. I don't like senseless things, you know, like, you know, we're on a record label, like, there's no need for our lives to be on hold all the time. You know, there's no need for Trevor and I, have been in the band for, you know, 7-8 years, to go through 5-7 months a year without working. There's just no need for it when we're great at creating music, we're great at playing shows. So we wanted to do things differently. You know, I have a family to feed. You know, we need to work when we want.
Right.
We need to be on our own work schedule. You know, we're tired of working for other people, so it was time to be our own boss. The pledge music was great, brought the fans together. Very difficult to fulfill, very difficult process,
okay.
Very difficult overall. But the best part about that was just seeing how great our fans came together and really seeing them step up. And it was a great hub to gather everyone into one place. So pledge music does a great job of creating a center hub for all your fans to go in and support. So that's a great part of it.
So does that mean you won't do that again? Will you be doing a different thing the next time you guys put out a CD?
You know, we're always going to try something differently. You know, I think there were some benefits, positives and negatives. And I think, you know, I really feel like we're going to do so well with this record that, yeah, we may have been able to use Pledge as a startup and as a kick, to, you know, kick in the butt to help us essentially do what we want to do. You know, eventually we want to just, you know, kind of run everything on our own,
okay.
Run all operations on our own, and you know, have our fans involved in many different ways other than just the pledge, you know.
So kind of be financially stable just to not have to do that, to just be able to continue it.
Well, you know,
I
don't want to say we were financially stable. We would have made an album happen with or without the pledge. You know, we would have made it happen. We thought it was going to be something cool to try.
Gotcha.
So we wanted to try it. We wanted to see how it worked. And look, it was very successful. We're very happy.
Yeah. How did the golfing thing go yet? Or haven't you done that yet?
We haven't done it.
Oh.
No golf.
That sounds really cool.
No golf.
Oh, nobody bought the golf.
No. People bought
man.
A lot of other things. People bought my microphones, the boots from tour, the video. People bought go-kart racing. People bought a lot of things. But the golfing, you know, I think, you know, it was in Vegas. It has to be in Vegas, so it really has to work out perfectly. Yeah.
It sounded like you guys are excited about the golfing, though.
They're afraid to get schooled.
Yeah, we'll dominate them.
When I was researching, I found a quote that I don't know, maybe you can tell, maybe it's just something you say, but I thought it was really cool. The roses and pixie dust, is that just something you say?
What context did I use it in?
I can't even remember. But you just, I think it was when you were talking to records, the record company.
When I say roses and pixie dust, I think people have, you know, I know when I use that phrase, and I use that phrase a lot for other musicians. I use a lot, you know, people, I see musicians who think they're just going to make a 3-song demo, get a record deal, and be the most famous band in the world. And it doesn't always work out like that. You know, it takes about 10 years of hard work. It takes 30 support tours till you can start putting people in your own tour. It takes numerous hit songs. It just doesn't happen overnight with one tour. Sometimes it happens with one hit song if the song's big enough, but that's very far and few between. So
right. Very lucky.
I use that phrase when people aren't being realistic.
Gotcha. I like it. You do most of the writing, right?
There's many different ways we do the writing. You know, sometimes I'll write the lyrics and the melodies. Sometimes we'll do a full band. You know, we'll be in there and it'll start with a riff or a drum beat or a bass line. Who knows? You know, there's many ways to write songs, and we've tried them all.
Gotcha. I really like that you guys are focusing on rock. I told you earlier that I work at a high school, and it's kind of cool because there's one student in particular. He really likes the old-fashioned rock. Not mm-hmm. old-fashioned, but, you know, like, I don't know, 70s-ish, you know?
Yep.
Rock and roll. And I hardly can tell him any bands. It's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah.
It's few and far between, but I was listening to your guys's on Amazon. You can listen to just, like, tidbits.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to tell him about you guys. I think that's really cool.
Getaway?
Yeah. It really sounded like rock and roll.
It's very rock and roll, very retro. And you know, we hope people like it. We hope people enjoy what we've done.
I think there was one song that I was kind of like, no offense.
That's okay.
But, out of 10?
You don't write, everyone doesn't write every single song to be the greatest song ever. You know, we have to just believe in what we're doing and do it, you know? I mean, look, you go back and listen to the greatest bands. I listen to the Eagles all the time, and I listen to, Queen. I listen to events. If you listen to these 13 songs albums, there are songs on those records that I pass and I skip. And
right.
I think right now people want people's expectations of every single thing you put out is at an all-time high. It's like you get one song nowadays, you know, almost to for people to decide they like you or they don't.
Right.
When you used to get 15 to 20 songs per album, you know, I can name a million records growing up, even from the biggest bands in the world that just had two or three songs.
Yeah,
and then the rest were just, you know.
Yeah.
Now for us, we have to write 12 amazing songs, you know.
Right.
If there's one or two S, or even you know, really, and for an album to be great, you need three or four great songs.
I think you guys did that. I really do.
I do too. And the rest is us. We get to have fun. We get to make what we want to make. You know,
right.
We get to do what we want to do. It's not always about the biggest hit, or sometimes it's about the biggest hit.
Right.
You got to
right.
have that. But it's not always about the biggest hit.
Right.
You know, we have 11, 12 songs. You know, on 8 or 7 of them, we're gonna just be us having fun together, you know?
I really liked them.
Thank you.
What of your songs is your favorite song?
In my whole career?
Yeah.
That's a tough question. There's a lot that I really like.
What one means the most to you?
Means the most, I would obviously say Alive. The guy wrote it for my wife, and it was a very beautiful song, and it touched so many people. But I like the songs that you know, help build this band. You know, anything to help finance this band or build this band or anything that made us money to get to the next place. I love those songs too. You know, I love Sick. I love Criticize. You know, I love the song Stuck off our last album. I love Drive. You know, there's a lot of songs that I think. You want to talk about making an album full of a bunch of great songs. You know, sometimes those songs get lost in the shuffle, and it's a bummer, you know?
Right, because you can only put out so many.
You can only put out so many.
Yep. Okay, these ones are going to be more ambiguous, just kind of for your fans to get to know you.
Yeah.
What was the last concert you went to that you did not play at? You don't have to have paid for it, but...
Last concert that I went to that I didn't play at. I can't even remember. I go to too many concerts. I'm trying to like decipher the difference between which ones I played at and watched.
Did you go to Motley Crue?
I went to Motley Crue. Thank you.
That
I went to Motley Crue. Vegas. I did. Wow.
That's awesome.
Can't believe I skipped that. Because I went to a couple of them. I went to a couple of shows and I was like, did we play that or no? You know, because I watched a few bands. You know, we watched, I watched Def Leppard.
Okay.
One night I watched,
I've seen them 3 times. Are they still as good?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen them, like, 30 years
ago. Oh, we watched Judas Priest, you know.
Yeah.
That was cool.
But he doesn't ride his bike out on stage.
Motley was
anymore.
Awesome. Motley Crue. Motley Crue was magical, man. Those guys were having a good time up there. It was cool.
I like that. I love it when you're watching a band and they're like having the time of their life and they're just like, Saint Asonia. Have you seen them perform?
Yeah, I know those guys.
Oh
well.
My gosh,
they're cool cats.
I love watching them. What is something about you that your fans would not expect?
I think I'm a pretty unpredictable fella, but I don't know. I think my fans wouldn't expect. I don't know how they perceive me. I mean, I imagine they think that I'm a. At the end of the day, you know, yeah, I'm a pretty rebellious failure, but a rebellious fella. But I'm a good dad, and I don't know if they picture me like changing diapers and doing all that stuff, but I totally do it, you know. I'm super dad.
Yeah, I can see that. When you guys are on tour, do you have a favorite food you eat that you don't eat it when you're at home?
Oh yeah, there's tons of places that we eat. Waffle House is one of them. I never eat that shit until I'm on the road.
Don't they have, like, the best? I love their hash browns.
They have the best waffles.
Texas Roadhouse,
another place. Texas Roadhouse, Waffle House. Those are the two that come off the top of my head, totally.
Gotcha. Who would your dream collaboration be with?
To be honest with you, if we're talking about collaboration, it wouldn't be with another singer. I would probably say, and I know he's difficult, but if he just throws me a couple of those riffs he writes, I could write some songs with Tom Morello. I think that would be fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking in a sense of he's very simple, but he's got a distinct sound. And Audioslave was one of my favorite bands ever, and I feel like if I had some of the riffs or licks that he played on that as a canvas, I could write something beautiful.
Well, maybe he'll hook you up.
I
know you probably have. What do you think's like your biggest pinch me moment? Like you kind of are like, oh my god, I cannot even believe that this is happening.
I would say playing Rockfest and Carolina Rebellion in 2011 or 2012 when we were really, you know, we hopped out there and we weren't even ready for you know, there to be 60,000 people out there. and we went out there and we fucking tore it down. And that was definitely one of those moments.
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We go to Rock on the Range every year. And how many people just in one area is just insane.
You know, you did a good job when you walk, when you jump into the crowd and you crowd surf, and on your way, you're walking back in. Every girl is trying to pull you with them. Then you could be like, I guess that was a good show.
Right.
You know.
All right. What does the rest of 2016 look like for you guys? Because the tour is ending, right?
There's 2 weeks left. You know, we're going to be patient. You know, we're in the process right now of you know, sometimes the world needs to see the value that you have, you know, and if you just get treated like every other band in the gauntlet, it's tough to separate yourself from the gauntlet of the music business. You know, these managers are doing the same things for every band. These booking agents are doing the same things for every band. You know, we want to restore a little value to our music and to our shows and to our brand, you know, and, you know, we don't want to be the Walmart brand. We don't want to be the brand that just, you know, is stock you can get anywhere, you can get any time. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we want people to be excited when we come through on a tour. We want people to be excited when we put out music and treat it like it has value. So my whole process with 2016 and on with Adelita's Way is to restore a little bit of respect and love to artists, and starting with the way I do things, you know.
That makes sense. And then your Getaway CD comes out February 26th, right?
Yeah.
And if you come to the show, you can purchase it for $10.
Well,
is that every
No,
time,
you
or
can
just
get
a
it.
Special?
You can get it today. Right now, we're doing the download cards, and you get one song right now, immediately. February 26th, the album will come out, and then from that point on, we will have them on the road with us.
Gotcha. But for $10 right now,
you can
if you come to the tour or to the concert,
you buy a download card, which there's a limited edition of those. There's only 100 of those made.
Gotcha.
And that's all that'll be made. There'll be no more made.
And there's at least one left because I bought one.
Okay, I like that. So there'll be no more after 100 of those made. And those come with a song right away that people can hear, a new song called Getaway, the title track.
I will have to download that
when
I get home.
Check it out.
Well, thank you for taking the time out to do this. Do you have anything you want to say to your fans?
We love the fans. Make sure everyone checks out Bad Reputation on iTunes, Getaway and Best Buy February 26th. Grab the record and grab the single. It really helps us continue to dominate like we want to. We want to grow. We want to become something, a force. So it starts with the fans, we love our fans, so we feel good.
Very cool. Thank you.
Thank you.